fireworks can briefly bring the light of the sun to the night sky, but when Joshua needed more daylight for battle, he just prayed. The Bible says the sun stood still in the Valley of Ajalon as God fought for Israel. Of course, a scientist would scoff at the idea of the sun actually standing still. So what really happened on that fateful day? Stay with us as we consider the options. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 10 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Let's Experience the Power of Prayer. What really did happen when the sun stood still?
So there are many people who say that what it means is that Joshua needed some cover because the sun was too bright. His men who had marched all night were weary and tired, and so God used a hailstorm and gave Joshua the shade and gave the enemy the hailstones, and that's really what happened, is that the sun just stopped shining so that the people were able to be refreshed. Well, I can see that possibility. In fact, those of us who were to Israel many years ago, and Daryl, I think you were along at that time, we actually stood on the hill where Joshua stood. And we looked at Gibeon, and we saw the Valley of Ajalon, and that was the view that our tour guide took as to what happened. But you know, you look at the text here and you say, well, I don't think that that's all that happened. It almost seems as if there was an extension of light, because it says the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before, or a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. There's something else going on here in the text. It almost seemed as if that the day was prolonged and there was more hours of sunlight. Now that, of course, creates great problems for scientists, because first of all, Joshua said, "Sun, stand thou still." Well, if you know anything about astronomy, we are told that the sun is always standing still. It is the world that is turning at about 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. But of course, the Bible is written in the language of appearances, just like your almanac is written in the letter of appearances. Or if you are listening on the news and you're listening to the weather, they do not say, now tomorrow morning the earth is going to rotate in such a way that we hope to be able to see the sun at 7:45. No, they talk about a sunrise and a sunset, and that's what the Bible is talking about too. So that's really not a problem. The other problem, which is more difficult scientifically, is if this world were to actually slow after going 1,000 miles an hour, if it were to slow down, you could imagine what would happen. Tremendous catastrophes, as lakes and rivers and oceans would be thrown helter-skelter because of the slowing down of the earth. So some people say that it was a miracle, but it was a very local miracle. And maybe we don't know what happened. Bottom line, look, if God is the creator, if he spoke the sun and moon into existence, if he said stars exist and they already began to twinkle, it is not difficult for the Almighty to cause the earth's rotation to slow and also to make sure that the damage throughout the world is not catastrophic. I mean, God can do all that. In fact, there are some scientists who say that there is actually a day missing in the calendar of the universe. I'm not sure whether that is the case, but I did read recently a report about that. But notice this. God was fighting, and God did a miracle and could even cause a day to be longer if necessary in order for Joshua to win this battle. But what authority he had. Sun, stand thou still. And the day was prolonged. Now I have to ask the question. You have, of course, on the one hand, the promise of God. Joshua held that in one hand. And in the other hand, therefore, he had authority and he had faith even to have nature fight on his behalf and to see this tremendous miracle. How does that apply to you? How does it apply to me? Does this mean that we can stand and say, "Sun, stand thou still," or we can say, "Snow today, stop snowing today"? I don't think so. You know, there are some people who think they've taken this business of authority, and the reason they're messed up about it is because they're taking and they are believing promises that really don't apply to us, and I need to spend a moment about that. There are those who believe that we have absolute total authority over the devil. After all, we're in Christ. Christ is above the devil. Therefore, we have total complete authority. And that's why you have groups meeting, for example, in Washington, D.C., a prayer group that met, that said, "Oh Lord, we banish Satan from Washington, D.C. He must leave this city and never return." Well, may I humbly suggest that I think that there is empirical evidence to show that Satan has not left Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, there are some people who think they know his address. As a matter of fact. Folks, if we had authority to banish the devil from Washington, we would banish the devil from Chicago and Los Angeles and eventually the whole world. We'd confine him to another planet and we would do away with him forever so that we would never have to mess with him again. We would just take authority and we would just do what God has not chosen to do. We would put him in the fringes and that would be it. Of course, we don't have that kind of authority. If you ask the question as to why the devil is still in Washington or Chicago or Los Angeles, it is because the Lord hath need of him. There are things that God is doing. Luther was right when he said, even the devil is God's devil. Do we have authority over all sickness? Can we simply command the cancer to go? Can we command the arthritis to recede? Can we command God, "You must heal"? No, friends, we don't. We do not have such a promise. Because if we can do all that, we can do what some of our friends have done. And they have even believed that they can banish death. My parents had some friends like that who believed that they would never die because they just keep being healed. They'd keep being healed whenever they got sick. They just keep their healing going. And they actually thought that they were going to live until Jesus Christ returned. Well, about 20 or 30 years ago, they died just like the rest of us. We do not have that kind of authority. Remember Johnny Erickson talking about being number 15? I can just see the imagery and I'll never forget it. Being number 15 in the wheelchairs lined up to go onto the elevators to leave a Catherine Kuhlman crusade unhealed. Now, we don't have that kind of authority. We don't have the authority to command wealth. I command money to come into the coffers. I command $13 million to be dropped in the offering plate today. I don't know why I chose that figure. It just happened to come to mind. I want you to know today that there are people in different countries of the world who are more godly than we are, and they're living in poverty and sickness. We don't have that kind of authority. How then, Pastor Lutzer, I hope you're asking the question, how then do we take the Bible, the promise in one hand and the faith in the other, to have God come and fight for us and to take up our cause? Well, I thought you'd never ask. There are promises in the Scripture that can be applied directly to us with a promise in one hand and faith in the other, authority in the other, and you can say, "This is mine," and you can stand there, even though it's going to be a battle, as we're going to see. You can still say, "I stand on this promise." Let me give you a couple of examples. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Therefore, we can say, "The Lord is my helper." And now notice, "I shall not fear what man shall do to me." Do not fear him who is able to destroy the body, and then after that, he's run out of anything he can do. But rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Is it possible for a Christian to live without fear, to insist and to say, I have a promise that God is going to walk with me through the most fearful circumstance, and therefore I need not fear? The answer is yes. With a promise in one hand and faith in another, and you put those two together, and there is a promise that you can stand on to say, this is mine. I stand here. What about even such promises as victory over sin? Knowing that our old man, that has nothing to do with the father that you had difficulty getting along with. I'm quoting the King James. Knowing that our old self, that's a better translation, has been crucified with him, that the body of sin should be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And a couple of verses later, as it continues to talk about this truth, what does it say? Therefore, consider yourself dead indeed unto sin. Is it possible for us to say, yes, I will not, I do not have to be propelled by that sin that doth so easily beset me? The answer is yes. You're going to be in for a hassle. I'm in for a hassle whenever we begin to take those promises, because the devil begins to come to us and the thief begins to want to steal from us, and it's a struggle, but it is ours, folks, to hang on to, because that applies to us. I speak today to some of you who are really struggling with guilt. Your conscience is troubled because there are things in your life, and even though you've confessed your sin, the regret is there, and the mind keeps going back to things that are troubling you, and your conscience is saying, shame on you. Look at what you've done. You don't really think that you deserve to be in church, do you? And listening to the word of God, you hypocrite, look at what you've done. So you have this troubled conscience, even for sin that has been confessed. Do you have a right to be free from that? Can you point to a text and put your finger on it and say, on the basis of this text, I do not have to be harassed like that, that I can actually have a clean conscience? Yes, you can. You can even take 1 John 1:9. There are other verses, but that one will do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's the promise. And to cleanse us, that's the application of the promise, from all unrighteousness. Not only to forgive us, but to give us a clean conscience, to give us a clean, non-condemning conscience. That is your right as a child of God if you've confessed your sin. So on the one hand, you have the promise. On the other hand, you have the faith. And you put the two of them together and you can say, conscience, stand thou still at Gibeon, and troubled heart in the valley of Ajalon. Well, that ought to be encouraging for us today. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to remind you that at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be told as to how you can get this entire series of messages. The intention, of course, is to continue to encourage you, and I hope that you will share them with others, that we all might be encouraged. And today, as we talked about this marvelous miracle of the sun standing still. Of course, we don't understand what happens scientifically necessarily, but we do know this, that God answered prayer and God fought for Joshua. Today, let's be encouraged and remember that God is there to fight for us too.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up part two of Let's Experience the Power of Prayer, the last message in his series, Getting Started Right. Lessons from the life of Joshua. Tomorrow, Dr. Lutzer's final thoughts from the day the sun stood still. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Getting Started Right can be yours as a 6-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.